Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in once again. Now, if you watched last week, we hadn't been wearing this shirt a whole week. We told you last week that we're going to do part two. And so, because while that anointing was strong on us, so I want to get into it. And last week we were talking about that you don't have to use the word of God for personal advantage because you're already advantaged by it.
By Jesus. He did on the cross.
And what he did
already
in that desert out there. We talk about the temptations of Jesus.
So
I've talked about this many times.
Right. If you didn't watch it last week, go back and watch it after this one. But we're going to launch into Jesus had, there was the three temptations. We talked about the first one.
Which was never use the word of God for personal advantage. Because Satan said, turn the stone into bread. Jesus said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
And
go listen to what Kathy said. She had some great revelation on that.
I did.
You did. Praise the Lord.
It was
a blessing.
It's still boiling in my heart. We may go into,
we'll do whatever we need to do.
We're in the book of Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, which records Jesus' temptations, how he was, after he was baptized in water, then he was led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
He went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit.
Full of it.
Full of it, and then we talk about late last week as well. We'll see this later today, we hope, in this teaching about how when he left, he was still full.
Yeah. Now, we read Luke chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I want to start with verse 5.
Okay.
This is Jesus' second temptation, all right? I want you to get this. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Mm. And the devil said unto him, now notice that, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, let me show you something. Why did Jesus come? He came to spread the gospel to the whole world. So watch this. This temptation is why Satan used this, because this is what Jesus was looking for. He came in the world to save that which was lost, to minister to people.
Correct.
He came to preach the kingdom of God. And Satan says this, hey, you kingdom-minded? You want a kingdom? I got a kingdom. Let me show you what I got. It's full of money. It's got everything you can think of. All this stuff. So it's everything that Jesus wanted while he was here so he could preach the glorious gospel. But notice the word if. Remember, if thou be the Son of God last week?
Right.
Now, he says that if again. If, verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now, the Amplified says that all you have to do is worship me once.
Right.
He said, we're in the desert. Ain't nobody here. Just between me and you. Just worship me. And hey, man, you go do your thing. I give you the whole power. Because once you bow, you're in trouble.
Correct.
Just have to do it once. Now, what did Jesus say? This is the second temptation. Jesus answered and said unto him, now, most people would never tell the enemy to do this. Get thee behind me. You want to keep that sucker in front of you because you don't tell him what he's going to do. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Notice he's using the word, the Logos, written word of what? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thy serve. Okay, temptation two. Never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God.
Correct.
Satan says, I got a kingdom. All you got to do is partner up with me, and you can do whatever you want, but you got to worship me. You got to fall down just once. See, once you do that, then you give him total authority over your life. Satan said, no. You know who you should worship. Only God himself. So I've had that happen in my ministry many times. I've had some very wealthy people, very good, you know, people that had substance. Say, hey, why don't you do this and do this? And because they know the anointing of increase is on me, see? So they think, man, if we get around this guy, we're going to get some of that anointing too. But I mean, I have to do wrong things. I have to do, when I say wrong, bad things to achieve that. I'm not doing that. You know, I've been preaching 50 years, and I've never had a scandal in my ministry. Now, I know a lot of people lie about me and say this and that. No, no. I ain't chased women. I ain't stole no money. I ain't done any of that stuff. Why? I got born again. Have you been tempted? Well, sure. Jesus said we were all tempted. But what happened? I went, no, no. I worship the Lord thy God, and I will not worship your sin. I will not worship what you think is good when it's not. And another thing, I am a totally different person. I have the power of God. It is written right here. That Logos, word of God, has now become rhema in my innermost being. So he said, I don't associate with wicked people. I've had people say, listen, man, I mean, you know, people love you. Why don't you do this? If you invest over here, we ain't gonna tell nobody. Just do this and use the money for the ministry. No, because that's wicked money. Those are wicked things. You are associating yourself with wicked people. When you commit adultery, you're associating something with wickedness. And what does it do? It destroys your family. It destroys your marriage. It definitely destroys the trust in the marriage. True. I'm not saying it can't be healed. Oh, but it takes a long time. You better never, if you've done that, you better never be late one day, because your wife won't say, where you are? Where you been? Or vice versa. You see what I'm saying? Because that stain is there. Jesus said, I will not do that. So I don't associate myself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. Now, that's temptation too. Kathy, what do you think about that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's powerful, because it's so often people compromise their integrity. Oh, yeah. Because maybe God is calling them to do a certain thing, maybe going to the ministry. We touched on this because there's a lot of people that have refused the call because they thought that they would be poor. Maybe they wouldn't be able to provide for their family.
Right.
So they instead take a job that God didn't call them to do, and then they suffer because of it.
Well, you start off with the word compromise.
Yeah.
But the original word was promise. Mm-hmm. He just put a C-O-M on it.
Right.
You compromise the promise.
Right.
You know, when you promise somebody something, you should keep your word.
Right. But it's all about trust. We learn to trust God rather than listen to the lie of the devil. God will provide for you if you'll trust him and put his word to work and not listen to the lie of the devil. But God has a great plan for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil came and he offered Jesus everything that Jesus came to the earth for, which was to take back everything that Adam lost when he bowed his knee to the
devil. That's what he showed him.
Yeah. You can get it back. You don't have to go to the cross. I got another plan. I'll give it to you. He had every right to say that. That wasn't a lie. Jesus didn't rebuke him and say, no, you don't have it. Everything belongs to God. No, Jesus knew and must have acknowledged by his reaction that Adam had turned over ownership of this earth to Satan. This is why Jesus came.
Amen.
And so this is eye-opening for a lot of people. They don't realize the influence that Satan has in the world. The New Testament even identifies, and Paul in one of his writings says, whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those, he says, from the light of the gospel. And so it's important to realize that we are in a spiritual warfare, just as Jesus did when he went into that wilderness, but he defeated Satan. But it's still our responsibility to believe it, put it into practice in our own life, because we're still in this state where we're waiting for the return of Jesus to him to ultimately put that devil into the bottomless pit.
That's right.
Destroy him forever.
Yeah.
But we're...
I'm listening. Go ahead. Keep preaching, man. That's all right. I'm just listening.
It's still a warfare. And he demonstrated this. The way that we defeat the devil is by believing the word of God, speaking the word of God, and walking victoriously.
There's a little word Satan hates and... And,
no.
And it's, yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
That's the first word a baby says. No. Just tell the devil, no.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I will not do that. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, no, I won't. I will not associate with you. I will not associate with your works. I'm going to stay with my kingdom, God.
You know, I just realized something.
Not yours.
There was a man named Judas that was on Jesus's
Judas.
Not of his perfect 12, his chosen 12 that he chose. And Judas had, you know, a lot of the disciples at the time when Jesus was there, they thought he was going to come to liberate them from Rome to have an earthly kingdom. And they totally misunderstood this. So Judas went to the high priest and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver.
30 pieces of silver.
Because he, you know, and he betrayed him. And he went about trying to establish got something different in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Satan had
used him.
He says Satan entered him, and he says, go do what you have to do.
Amazing. Judas didn't think they could take Jesus because he walked right through him. You know, I mean, he just knocked him down, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what happened was because he fell in love with that money.
Yeah.
You see, money, nothing wrong with money, but you never fall in love with it because money should never become your God. Now, I have to say this, and there's some people that preach prosperity that money's become their God. That's all they live, eat, and breathe. And, you know, I believe in prosperity, and God has blessed us financially, but I haven't fallen in love with it.
Right.
Why? Because, see, once you fall in love with God, There's no other room for anything else.
Fits, right?
Now, years ago, me and Kathy got where we started dating. We fell in love with each other. Well, there is no other room for anybody else.
That's right. Been married 56 years.
Oh, well, almost 56. June the 6th, I think, would be.
That's right.
Yeah, almost 56.
Very
soon. Why? Well, it don't fit. You see what I'm saying? Plus, I have a daughter. What am I going to tell her? I have a granddaughter. What am I going to tell her?
You probably won't have time. I'll kill you.
And I agree with that.
You'll be
I think
dead.
She would.
Or I'll have a prison ministry.
You know, why? Because, see, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You see, because it's too tight. It can't happen. That doesn't mean we don't have arguments. Yeah, so what? That's not that. That doesn't mean that Kathy's not getting older. I just thought I'd say that. Or Jesse getting older. Look at this thing. I call it my Christmas stocking. I just stuff thing in there. I got to pull it up. It don't make any difference. I got up this morning. I walked into it. I said, listen, I'm heading to the office. She said, oh, you look nice today. I think I'm going to wear that shirt too. Okay, so that's how it happened. So when you understand, we associated together because she was good, I was good, especially when we got born again. I mean, our covenant became one covenant. And you can't separate the two. And I know it's happened. Don't misunderstand me. Like, I had a man, I'll never forget one time, I was going to marry this couple, and we were about ready to do the ceremony, and he says, I said, do you love her? You really love this woman? He said, well, I'll love her as long as it lasts. I said, boy, go sit your ugly self down. You done lost your mind.
They're making a provision for failure.
That's right. No, we don't do that. See, Jesus did not make a provision for failure in these temptations. He simply quoted the word of God. Look what he said. Let me read that again. He says, it is written.
What verse are you reading?
8.
Verse 8.
Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
Think about that. So you see, when Satan was saying, I have the power to give this to you, he wasn't lying. He is the father of lies. Because Adam turned that over. God gave all authority and power to Adam and Eve. They turned it over to him. Mm-hmm. But God prophesied, I'm going to send one. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bust your head. So from that point on, Satan was looking, who is this person that's going to do that? Like I said last week, he knew Jesus was the Messiah. That's a revelation. But he didn't know he was the Son of God because he was spiritually dead. You got to understand, you got to have spiritual revelation to understand what we're talking about there.
Right, right.
And so God can't come. He can't touch sin. He can't look it in it. So I'm a sure shot. I'm going to be here forever, you know. But when he realized God sent himself in the personage of Jesus, we said that last week.
Right.
See, so Jesus is now quoting the word of God. Mm. This just came up in my mind. You know, but just I'm called to preach, but I ain't got a good sermon. I mean, I'm not good at it. Use one of mine. Use one of Kathy's. Well, Kathy got some great sermons. Use one of them. She don't care.
I don't care.
What do you think we got?
That's why we're telling them. We get it from heaven.
You know, I don't want to take your originality. No preacher you know today is preaching originality. They get it out of this.
I remembered when you first
Paul
started
preaching originality.
God has given you some amazing titles over the years. One of them was Keep Your Foot on the Devil's Neck. And I remember you preached that at a conference early first few years of your ministry. And this one pastor who's in heaven today, had taken that message and he'd preached it to his congregation and he saw you and he invited you to preach at his church. Now, don't preach that message, he says, because I've already preached it and he told you to keep
that. I'll tell you who it was. He was a great friend of mine. He said, his name was Jimmy Hester, Arlington Christian Center. He said, now, Jesse, don't preach that message when you come to my church because I preached it. And I didn't
get mad. He says, even the story with my grandfather.
But the chicken.
He says, yeah, it was my grandfather. He took it all the way. He was hilarious.
But what happened, it touched people.
He took ownership of that message because it so transformed his life. And then when he told it, he told it in a way it personalized. I'm sure it was slightly different.
I have preached a Baptist sermon. I heard a Baptist preacher preach it over 50 years ago, before I was a preacher, and I never got it. The meaning of salvation. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world, the cause of salvation, that he gave his only begotten Son, the cost of salvation, that whosoever believeth in him, the condition of salvation, should not perish but have everlasting life, the consequence of salvation. You got to understand the cause, the cost, the condition, and the consequence. That makes salvation. Now, that's homiletics.
Yeah.
The Baptists preach homiletics. They teach you in Baptist
seminar. I
think
the title of it was called The Meaning of Salvation.
That's what I just said.
Making sure to get that because you can go and watch it on our app.
And I'm going to preach it till Jesus comes because it's just that good.
It's full of revelation. I like it because they all start with the letter C, which helps you to remember.
Right. You know. Yeah, she likes me to remember because her name starts with a C too. Kathy. Praise God.
So does Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus said, I will not associate
with you. Chrissy Cifuentes, my guest host.
Yes. I will not associate with you. I will not do that.
Yeah.
That is a revelation of God, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you don't need anybody else when you got God. Mm.
Yeah. God will send you the right people for you to hook up with. We have people come to Covenant Church. Kathy's the pastor of the church. All right. Who are some of them, they don't even live here anymore. They call themselves e-members. Is that what you call
Correct.
It?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. But they still behind Covenant Church.
Watch every Sunday. They tune in.
My partners. I have partners that have been with me 30 and 40 years giving to my ministry and not miss anything. Nothing. Why? That's Covenant. They associated with something good. I'm not bragging on myself. All I did was preach the word. I saw a statement in the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I've used that before. People said, but just we following you. I mean, we love you because you know you're clean. I said, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Those kind of things. So that's never associate. That was a powerful, powerful thing that Jesus was saying that. He said, he told the devil, you are going to worship God and God only. Oh, that's the only person you worship. Now, I want to go to number three,
if
we can do that. All right?
Sure.
Let's go down now.
Were we at verse 9?
We was at verse. He whipped him there. Now, they then knocked him out. Okay, verse 9. He brought him to Jerusalem. So they were traveling around pretty much.
Right.
He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, notice this, if thou be the Son of God. There's that if word.
Right.
Watch what he said. He starts quoting scripture. Cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. He figured if he can say logos, if he can say the Greek terminology of the gospel, I'm going to say it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Now, how did he know that? Because he was an angel. Mm. Do you understand that? The angels are in charge of thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, verse 11, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, this is scripture. Jesus answering said unto him, I love the old King James Version. He didn't say it is written. He said it is said. He went from logos to rhema, the spoken word, from written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Mm. Do you realize what Jesus said right there? Now, I'm going to make somebody mad. He was saying to Satan, I am God. Mm. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Even though he was in the flesh, he was God manifested in the flesh. And I noticed that beat the devil up so bad. I love verse 15. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. A season is 3 months. Devil said, I got to go lay down, man. He didn't beat me up so bad. I just can't do nothing. Now, you don't tempt God. You don't do that. Blessed is he. You know, the book of James says you don't enjoy temptation. You endure it. And he was saying, I will not do that. So number one, never use the word of God for personal advantage. Number two, never associate yourself with wicked people for the attainment of a good end, even though it may look good. And here's number three. You ready? Write it down. Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. How many times? You don't think on the cross, one of the thieves, now Jesus is hanging on the cross. He said, hey, man, if you say what you are, why don't you pull yourself off?
Save
us too. That's performing a godly act in a private spirit. Back in the 1947, 1958 healing revival. I loved Gordon Lindsay. He came out with a Voice of Healing magazine, all these great evangelists, but some of them went astray. In other words, they would like to do a miracle so they can get more money. If they could, if a miracle took place, you know, they were they performed a godly act. They start casting out devils. I don't know why people won't do it. Even though I know Jesus did that. they would cast, what's your name, devil? What house you live? What place you live at in hell and all that kind of stuff? Why are you asking? You don't even know nothing about him. Just tell him to get out and leave this vessel alone. You see, that's performing a godly act in a prideful spirit. You got to be careful with that, because that gift that's in you, given by God, all the gifts in God calling are without repentance, will work, but you don't perform them in prideful ways. If God blesses you spiritually, physically, and financially, you don't get proud about it. People say, well, but Jesse bragging. No, I'm giving God glory. I'm not walking around saying, well, you know, have you seen the plane that I fly? Have you seen the house that I live? No, I may tell you I got a beautiful plane. I'm giving God glory. It doesn't make any difference. You see, because I will not perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. See, that's what I mean by that, see? Because there's so many wonderful things that have already been given to you. In other words, keep yourself in line when God blesses you in the city, in the field, going in and going out. You don't have to go flying off in left field or whatever. Watch this, the right fielder don't run over to the left field to try to catch the left field's baseball. Stay in your field. Stay in your lane. Because there's a guy in center. In other words, you got a line there. There's a boundary line. Stay in your line. Stay where God has placed you until God moves you. You see what I'm saying? Now, you know, there are some, and I love baseball, I always have, and some of the greatest, my God, in my opinion, some of the greatest baseball players were switch hitters. They could hit right-handed.
Oh, okay.
And they could hit left-handed. Mickey Mantle, my God, man. He could hit just as good right-handed as he could left-handed.
Ambidextrous.
Yeah.
My sister's like that, Myra. Yeah, which is good because she's a hairdresser.
Yeah, so you could just work it. See what I'm saying? So Mickey Mantle could walk over into that lane when he came to hitting. You see what I'm saying? And in my personal opinion, if he wouldn't have got injured so early in his life, I think he'd have beat everybody's record. You talk about a talented man. But he went off the deep end on booze because he never thought he would live long. He even said that if I knew how to live long,
I'd have taken
better care of myself, because his family died very young. But that's because they did doesn't mean you have to. Mm-hmm. Somebody must have told him that. Mm-hmm. And it got inside of him. You see what I'm saying? And so what he did, he may have associated himself with that disease, thinking, so he said, well, I'll just destroy my body. I'll just do whatever. I don't care what my body says.
So
you don't do that,
so
see? So in other words,
so
you never...
So it's wrong thinking is what you're talking
about. Yeah,
wrong
about. Thinking.
Wrong thinking will pull you off track.
Or stinking thinking.
Stinking thinking. You know, I have in my notes here, because when I break down, I study this passage of Scripture, that when it says in verse 9 that he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and it says in this commentary that the pinnacle of the temple was 700 feet above the Kidron Valley, or half as high as the Empire State Building. That's how high they were up when he said, throw yourself down here.
Yeah.
God's going to keep you, and actually misquoted Psalms 91, verse 10, 11 and 12, because there was a portion in that verse where he left out where it was that says that he will keep thee in all thy ways. That wasn't God's way. God's had another plan for his life. He still had to walk the earth. He had to do all the things that he did in the next 3 years, because this was at the start of his earthly ministry.
Right.
And then he still had he was going to be lifted up above all the earth on the cross.
I mean, this is so amazing. This is revelation knowledge. I've preached it a bunch of different ways. Then you can preach it 100 ways.
Yeah, but there's so much more
so
in
much
it.
So much more
could,
in it.
We could
do a whole year of boardroom chats on this.
But with the lessons that Jesus learned that's recorded here by Luke, for us, will help us in our struggles today. The things that the enemy comes against us, there's nothing new. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes with the temptations, the flesh, the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The other one, I had that here somewhere.
That's in John.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so you got to understand something. I am the CEO of this ministry, but I don't use my power for personal advantage.
Correct.
I don't try to get somebody to do something wrong, even though I hired them or got the power to fire them. And I don't show off in a prideful spirit to one of my employees or whatever. I don't do that. In other words, I treat people the way I want to be treated. Just that simple. people don't realize about us. We got about maybe 4 or 5 minutes
left. I want to read that verse of scripture I referred to. I found it.
Well,
if
you want me to finish this first?
Yeah, finish what you're saying.
You know, me and Kathy are blessed, and we live in the city of New Orleans, got great food. We can eat just about anywhere. What people can't get over about us is that we eat what we want to eat. Yeah, could we eat in the finest restaurants in New Orleans? Or have you eaten the finest restaurant? Yes. But a lot of times you'll find this woman, if there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken somewhere, the car pulls over. She likes Kentucky Fried. If there's a Chick-fil-A and I'm driving my truck, goes this way. But the other day, we blew away Jody, our daughter. She said, hey, Dad, Mom, where y'all going? Kathy said, going to McDonald's. She like Trump. She like McDonald's. Double quarter pounder with cheese. Okay, and I've had people come up to me and say, why are you here? I want a cheeseburger. Yeah, but you could eat at Mr. B's. You could eat at Commander's Palace. You could eat at Arnold's. These are very fine restaurants in New Orleans. You could, yeah. Why are you here? Because Kathy like a double quarter pounder with cheese. And she's going to stop at the Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, give me a two-piece, and I want just the legs.
Original recipe.
Original recipe. I mean, enjoy that.
Are you hungry? That's why you're bringing that up.
I've seen her enjoy this
spaghetti
as much.
Last week. Now it's fried chicken.
But she's enjoyed that just as much as she did at Mr. B's.
Well, not quite.
Well, it is. I see you licking your fingers on because she likes, it.
It's hard to beat the
And that's okay. You see what I'm saying? That's fine. And what I'm talking about. But people think, well, y'all people of substance, y'all shouldn't be eating it. We want to eat. We ain't no big shot. You see what I'm trying to say? That's what I mean. Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, I love this passage of scripture. I think it's a parallel to the temptations of Jesus.
Okay.
It says, it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And it starts with, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so Jesus was in that forever.
I like that.
That's right. See, so the world system, the evil system, the way the devil tried to manipulate the plan of God didn't work in the garden.
Nope.
Because Jesus used the word of used the word of God. And when you use the word of God, the devil's plans and attack and tactics against you to rob you of every promise that God has given you will not work either. So go to the word, stay in the word, believe the word, use your faith voice, and you will be victorious.
I'm telling you, I hope you enjoyed this. We did 2 weeks of it. And it's just such a blessing. You know, I could
And
just,
there's even more in there, but we're going to close it here today because God has done so many great things in our life and our ministry, and we've heard your great comments.
Yeah.
We read them last week. Many more are coming in. And we just want to give glory to God because He is such a good God.
Amen.
And has a great plan for all of us if we'll just follow His word and do what Jesus did.
It's pretty simple. You know, this is a map for your life. All you got to do is live in it, walk in it, and it will live and walk for you. It will bless you.
Amen.
First thing, and we close with this, and we say it all the time. Thank you, partners, for being so courteous, kind to our ministry. 50 years of preaching this glorious gospel, and we've never had a financial deficit.
Amen.
That's unheard of. And you know why? Why? And I say it all the time, and Jennifer, you know, she's always, she laughs when I say it. I trust you, you trust me, and we both trust God.
Amen.
That's that simple. It's just that simple. And together we get things done. I'd like you to be a partner if you're not one. I'll tell you what we're believing for. We have 2 major projects that are going on in this ministry as we speak. And it's going to cost $20 million. I mean, I wish it was cheaper, but that's just the way it is. And we believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. Now watch, if that would happen today, I mean, it would be gone. I mean, it would be put into to do the work of the Lord. Otherwise, I mean, you know, I mean, people say, why do you do that? Well, I don't have time to retire because God's always got stuff for me and Kathy to do. I ask you to be a partner. Now, you may be one of those $1,000 partners. Kathy said last week, this money's coming in. It's happening, even as we speak. And then God said, I got a $20 million chunk giver. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're going to use the $20,000, and that's $20 million, but I'm going to replenish it. Then I thought to myself, well, he got something else he want us to do.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to ask
you
again.
We're about the Father's business.
Yeah. Now, don't let that throw you. Some people give more, some people give less. You know, you just start where you are and let God just bless you and minister life to you. If you want to be one, go to jdm.org and you can hit the donate button. You can use PayPal. Or you, if you want to use that financial system, you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. Or you can go to the free JDM apps and select the giving you want. Or you can mail in a check to the ministry, whatever you may do. 100% is going in the world evangelism. I tell you what, I hope you do that. Well, I don't have $1,000. Well, then you don't do it. But I have $10. Okay. But you know, one day you'll have $1,000. Because the anointing of increase is on me. I had a particular employee that worked for me and heard me say something one time I was believing. She said, I've never given $1,000 in my life.
And they desired to.
And they desired to do it. Well, she did give it. And you know how she gave it? It was in cash, in tens, in 20s, in singles, dollars, 20. And I thought she was saving it.
It was a faith project.
Now, her car is paid off. She's debt-free. She's doing very well. See, the anointing of increase. So I don't believe that way. You don't have to. But it's still true.
Yeah, multiple testimonies,
that. It's just amazing. I hope you enjoyed today, and I appreciate all of you watching. Be praying for us, because if you think about us, we're doing something for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Number one, we will never use the word of God for personal advantage because we're already advantaged.
Right.
Number two, we will never associate ourselves with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end.
Correct.
And number three, we will never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. A lot of people give me great compliments. You know what I say? Yeah. God is gracious.
God is good.
God is good.
So
until next week, Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. We really do. See you soon, okay? God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.